It's been a real joy and pleasure for me to be with you during this weekend. It's been a real time of happy fellowship, and I'd like to express my appreciation and gratitude to all you good people for the warmth of your welcome and fellowship and hospitality. I'd like to say a special word for those who have worked so hard downstairs in the kitchen, as one of those who have been the recipients of what you have done and benefited from it. I must express my very sincere appreciation. And I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of many, many others who've enjoyed these wonderful meals that you've provided for us. You've done a great job, and the Lord will reward you for it, but I'd like to express how much I appreciated what you have done. Let's turn tonight, and this is the closing session of this conference, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. On Friday and yesterday, we had two bites into this Olivet discourse spoken by the Lord on the eve of his suffering on the cross. We noted that this great discourse was given in response to questions that were asked by his disciples. The discourse is recorded by Mark in chapter 13 and by Luke in chapter 21. And you'll find that there are condensed versions in these two Gospels. The fullest version is in Matthew's Gospel 24 and 25. And the particular question that the Lord answers, as recorded by Matthew, is the question, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age?" And the Lord Jesus answers that question. The discourse reaches its climax, its peak, at verse 30 of Matthew 24, where the Lord says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And it's evident from that verse alone that what the Lord is speaking about in this discourse is the coming of the Lord Jesus as Son of Man to earth. It's not his coming to the air to take his people to be forever with himself. That we know will occur at any moment. We don't know when it's going to come, and it may be tonight, when the Lord takes those who love him out of the sea to be with himself forever. Some 7 years or perhaps a little more after that, the Lord is going to come with his people to earth. The first coming we speak of as the rapture, when he takes his saints to be with himself. The second part of the coming we call the revelation. In the first coming, he's coming as the bright and morning star to herald the coming day. In the second aspect of his coming as the Son of Righteousness to shine in all his power and glory. And it's that aspect that's before us in this great discourse. We notice that up to verse 35 of chapter 24, the Lord Jesus is speaking about the signs of his coming. And we looked at some of these signs on Friday afternoon. From verse 36 to verse 41 of chapter 24, he's speaking of the suddenness of his coming. How quickly it's going to come upon men and women. It's going to be sudden, the time of his coming. Then from verse 42 of chapter 24 to verse 30 of chapter 25, he speaks of the stimulus of his coming, the incentive that it should give to those who are anticipating it, the influence that should have on the lives of people in that coming day. And then finally, in the closing verses, from verse 31 to 46, that God willing, we'll look at on Tuesday evening, he speaks of the sequel to his coming, the judgment of the living nations. The passage that we're going to read tonight is part of the passage dealing with the stimulus of his coming, the influence that his coming should have on the people who are on earth in that coming day. In view of the fact that his coming is going to be sudden and in many ways unexpected because they'll not know the time. Of course, it's going to be expected because the Lord has already given them the signs in this great discourse. But in the view of the fact that the time is unknown to them, he has very important things to say to them to be ready, to be watchful for that coming. Now, this is particularly directed to people who are going to be alive in that coming day. But as we saw yesterday afternoon, you and I are waiting for the coming of the Lord. We don't know when he's coming. We don't know whether he's coming today or tomorrow or a year from now or 5 years from now. We don't know when he's coming. And therefore, the lessons that the Lord Jesus gives in these parables that are contained in this part of the discourse are applicable and relevant and valid and valuable for us today. And we're going to take it as for us today. We're going to take it as valuable for us, as lessons for us to follow. We noticed that this influence or stimulus of his coming can be divided into two parts. The first part begins at verse 42 of chapter 24, where we read the words, "Watch, therefore." Watch, therefore. And it ends at verse 13 of chapter 25, where we read the word, "Watch, therefore." And included in these verses from chapter 24, 42, to chapter 25, verse 13, there is the influence upon us to watch, since we don't know the hour of his coming, the stimulus to watchfulness. We're going to look this evening for a little while at the next portion, from verse 14 to verse 30. And this gives us an influence not simply to watch, but to work in view of his coming. Let's, with that introduction, read from verse 14 of Matthew 25 and remember that this is the Lord's exhortation, his encouragement to work in view of his coming. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of this very solemn and important parable from his holy word. Let us bow together and ask his guidance. O God our Father, as we have come to the closing meeting of this conference, we thank thee for all thy goodness to us in these past 3 days. And now we acknowledge our need of thee tonight. Thou knowest the needs of every heart in thy presence here. We pray that thou wilt speak to us by thy Spirit. Grant, O God, that each one of us may be submissive to thy will for our lives, that we may hear thy voice, and that we may obey thy command. Grant us thy blessing, we do pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. If you have any acquaintance at all with the Gospels of the New Testament and with the teaching of the Lord Jesus, and particularly with his parables of instruction, you remember that there are 2 parables that are very similar. One is the parable that we've read together, that we call, rather obviously, the parable of the talents. The other is a parable recorded by Luke's gospel, and if you want to turn over, keeping your finger at Matthew 25, it's to be found in Luke chapter 19, from verse 11 to about verse 27. We're not going to read that parable, but we're going to make a good deal of reference to it, and you may care to have it before you so that you can turn to see that what I'm saying is right or wrong. These 2 parables are very similar. In fact, they're so similar that there are some expositors that believe they are 2 versions of the same parable. I'm not one of these people who believe that. I believe that there are 2 distinct parables, but there are so obvious similarities that many people say that there are 2 versions, one by Matthew and one by Luke, of the same parable. Let's begin by noting the similarities between these 2 parables. First of all, they were both spoken by the Lord Jesus on the eve of his death. They both were given within a week or so of the Lord's death on Calvary's cross. Secondly, they both depict his departure. You'll notice in verse 14 of Matthew 24, he describes the kingdom of heaven as a man traveling into a far country. And the same sort of picture is presented to us in the parable of the pounds, a nobleman who went into a far country. And the emphasis on the far country is an indication of 3 things relating to the Lord Jesus and his departure. It emphasizes, first of all, the distance, for he was going from earth to heaven. It emphasizes, secondly, the difficulties of the journey, because he was going by a cross of cruelty and shame, and he was going to be killed, crucified on that cross. And it emphasizes, thirdly, the duration of his absence. For 19 centuries, 19 and a half centuries have already elapsed since he took his journey into a far country before he would come back again. And so we have the journey of the person in the parable into the far country. The third thing that's similar between both these parables is that both anticipate the Lord's return. And that was so frequently referred to by the Lord Jesus in the closing phases of his ministry. You can't help but notice that in the last days of the Lord's life on earth, he spoke frequently of his coming again, impressing upon his disciples then and his people through the centuries that he's going away, but he's coming back again. And both of these parables indicate that he is returning. And then fourthly, both of these parables are primarily concerned with the responsibilities and attitudes of the servants of the Lord in his absence, of their use of the trust that was delivered to them by the master before his departure. In the one case, there was a pound given to the servants. In the other case, there were some talents given to the servants. But these servants were given responsibilities and entrusted with certain obligations in the absence of their Lord. And both of the parables are concerned with how these servants carried out their responsibilities. Then fifthly, both of these parables emphasize that when the Lord returns, there's going to be a reckoning, a time of reckoning, when he is himself personally going to assess how these servants have carried out and discharged their responsibilities, and they're going to be rewarded or reproved for their use or abuse or disuse of the talents or the pounds committed to them. And the parable stress that faithfulness will be the paramount characteristic in determining the reward of these servants. That's very clear in both of these parables. And there's a final thing that's obviously very similar. In both parables, the Lord selects three servants. Two of them prove to be faithful to the trust the Lord gives to them, and one of them proves to be unfaithful, worthless, and wicked. So you can see there's a great many points of similarity in which the parable of the talents and the parable of the pounds seem to coincide. And you can understand probably why there are expositors and teachers of the Bible who say, well, they're just two different versions of the same parable. But I don't believe they're two different versions of the same parable, and I'm going to give you a number of reasons. We're going to look at some points in both parables, and I trust we'll learn some lessons from these that indicate that they are two different parables. First of all, let's think of the circumstances in which they were given. And we discover that while they were given close to the same time, they weren't given at the same time, nor were they given at the same place. And so it's obvious that they were different because there was a different time setting and a different place in which they were given. We've noticed that the parable of the talents is in the course of the Olivet Discourse. And we've noticed that the Olivet Discourse was given just a couple of days before the Passover, and it was presented on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem itself. But if you look at Luke 19, you'll discover that the parable of the pounds was presented to the people who were gathering around the Lord Jesus as he was marching up to Jerusalem. And so it was a few days before this giving of the Olivet Discourse that the parable of the pounds was presented. And it wasn't in the Mount of Olives that the parable of the pounds was given. It was on the way to Jerusalem. So you can see that the circumstances of both parables were different. Secondly, the audiences were different. In the parable of the pounds, the Lord Jesus was speaking to the multitudes who were gathering around him as he was walking towards Jerusalem. For his last time in the city, as he was going towards the cross, he was speaking to these audiences, these crowds that gathered around him. But it's clear, and we've noticed, that the parable of the talents in the course of the Olivet Discourse was spoken to his disciples who asked him these questions about his coming and about the destruction of the temple. So the audiences were different. Thirdly, the purposes were different. We're told the purpose of the parable of the pounds. Let's turn, if you will, just if you have your finger at Luke 19, if you haven't, keep your finger at Matthew 24, because we're coming back to it, Matthew 25. Luke 19 and verse 11 tells us the reason why the Lord told this parable. And verse 11 says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." There was the circumstance that prompted this parable. It's evident that the people in the crowd were expecting that the Lord Jesus was going to set up his kingdom, and that's why he was going to Jerusalem. And he had to tell them that he was like a man traveling into a far country to be away for some time and then come back again. And that was the setting and basis of this parable. But let's look at the setting and basis of the parable of the talents. If you come back to Matthew 25, we've already looked at the general setting. But let's look at the very first word of this parable. Verse 14 says, for. Now when you see for, that immediately is a conjunction. It links you with what has come before. And the verse immediately before says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man come. Watch, for you don't know when he's coming. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. In other words, the basis of this parable is to emphasize that in view of the fact that we don't know the time of his coming, we have to be careful how we live and be prepared for his coming again. That was the purpose the Lord Jesus had in view. In fact, the parable immediately preceding this, which we haven't had time to consider, which is well known, I'm sure, to us all, the parable of the virgins, is very closely related to the parable of the talents. The parable of the virgins has the emphasis on watching. The parable of the talents has the emphasis on working. Archbishop Trench, in his book on the parables, says something like this. He says, the parable of the virgins is to do with waiting for the Lord. The parable of the talents is to do with working for him. The parable of the virgins is related to the inward spiritual life of the faithful. The parable of the talents concerns their external activity. The parable of the talents follows the parable of the virgins, since it is the sole condition of a profitable outward activity for the kingdom of God, that the life of God be diligently maintained within the heart. In other words, if we're going to work for the Lord, we have to be watching for him. We have to be prepared for him. We have to know that he's coming, and we have to have our eyes on the fact of his coming. So much then for the circumstances and the audiences and the purposes. But fourthly, and perhaps the main point of difference, is in the contents of these two parables. We've seen that there are many similarities, but there are some very clear, distinct differences in content. And we're going to examine these and learn the lessons from them. First of all, generally speaking, in the parable of the pounds, the Lord Jesus speaks about a nobleman. And he goes to a far country. He has a purpose in view. The purpose is to get for himself a kingdom, and he's going to return. He gives to his servants a pound as a test of their faithfulness in his absence. And he's going to come and see how they have carried out their responsibilities. As we noticed in the parable of the talents, the person who goes away is not a nobleman receiving a kingdom, but he's a householder. He's a property owner. We're not told what the purpose of his mission to the far country is, but we're told that he distributes his goods. He doesn't only give a little pound to each person, but he distributes all his goods unto his servants to carry on his business in his absence. There is the general tenor of this parable compared with the parable of the pounds. Now let's notice the persons involved. The persons involved. In the story that we've read of the parable of the talents, the persons involved are the householder, the owner of the house, and the three servants to whom he committed 5, 2, and 1 talent respectively. In the parable of the pounds, however, there are many more persons involved. There's not only the nobleman who goes to the far country. There are 10 servants enumerated. Now, there may have been others, 7 in the story of the talents, but we're not told about them. We're only told about 3 of the servants in the pounds story, but we are told there were 10. But in addition, we are told that there were citizens who hated their master, and they sent a messenger after him. They sent a message after him to declare their hatred of the master. And this message was that they didn't want this man to rule over them. That was the message. And we're told about what happened to these citizens who disowned and rejected their Lord. And what the Lord Jesus told in the parable of the pounds about the citizens on earth who had no time for their master and who rejected their Lord is going to be fulfilled of those citizens of earth who have no time for the Lord Jesus and who have rejected him as Lord and Savior. And if there is anyone here tonight and you have never trusted him as your Savior, if you're sending a message, "I don't want you as Lord of my life, I don't want you as my Savior and Master," well, you may not have sent a message in these particular terms, but by your rejection of him, or by your neglect of him, you're virtually sending a message to the Lord that we don't want you to reign over our lives. And this parable is a serious warning for all who are like that. For the Lord is going to come, and he's going to deal in severe, harsh judgment for those who have no time for his son. How important it is for all of us to see that we accept and do not reject the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Well, let's notice again in the parable of the talents, not only the persons involved, but the amounts committed. The amounts committed. First of all, let's think of the nature of what was committed to these servants. In the one parable, it was pounds. In the other parable, it was talents. Now, we don't think in terms of pounds and talents. We think in terms of dollars and cents. And so it's difficult for us to understand what pounds and talents means. But I hope you'll take it from me that a talent is many times the value of a pound. The exact value of a talent depends on the material of which it's made, whether it's gold or silver, and it's impossible for us to convert to its present economic value. But if, say, you take a pound as equivalent to $20, then a talent would be equivalent to $1,000. You can see the difference. A pound was equivalent to the wages of a laborer for about 3 months, 100 days. He would get a pound in 100 days. But a talent is the equivalent of a year's wages for 15 men. So that 5 talents is the equivalent of a year's wages for 75 men. You can see that that's a large, large sum of money. Whereas a pound is only the equivalent of the wages for about 3 months or about 100 days. So you can see there is a vital difference between the amounts committed in each case. You see, in the story of the pounds, the master was giving a test to these servants as to their faithfulness and their capability to participate in his kingdom. He was going to receive a kingdom, and he wanted to know which of these servants he was going to appoint to administrative positions. And so he gave each a pound to test their ability. It was a sort of examination. And he said to them, here, occupy, trade with us till I come. He probably didn't tell them that he was going to base their responsibilities in the coming kingdom on how they traded with their pound, but they might have guessed that. And the Lord used that pound as a test of how well they faithfully discharged their responsibilities. However, in the parable of the talents, we're told he distributed them his goods. And these goods were worth a lot of money. These goods were very valuable. They were the Lord's possessions. And they were committed to these servants. You see, these servants were stewards. What they were given didn't belong to them at all. What they were given belonged to their master, belonged to their Lord. And they had to use what they were given by the Lord in their responsibility in his absence. They were to use them not for themselves, but for their Lord. Let me pause a moment. My friends, you are a steward. I am a steward. My master is the Lord Jesus, and he has committed to each one of us his possession to use for his glory in the time of his absence. These possessions that he has committed to you, whether it's time, whether it's your material possessions, whether it's your gift or ability, whatever it is, don't belong to you. They belong to your Lord. They're his. And you have the responsibility to use them for him and not for yourself. You have no right to take it and use it for yourself in his absence. Even the material possessions he has given to you belong to him. And we have a responsibility to use his goods for his glory in his absence. And we can be sure that the time is coming when he's going to call us to account for how we've used his goods. He's going to make a reckoning with his servants. So how important it is for us to realize that what we have is not our own. It belongs to him. And we have a responsibility to him. And we are going to answer to him in that coming day. So you see, there are differences in the nature of the amounts committed. There's also a difference in the amount of each characteristic. Each person with a pound was committed 1 pound. One didn't get 10, and 1 5, and 1 1. Every one of them was committed, had committed to them, the same 1 pound. In the parable of the talents, however, we are told that one had 5 talents, one had 2 talents, and one had 1 talent. And we are told a very important thing about how these were distributed. They were distributed in accordance with the assessment of the master of the several ability of the servant. You see, the master knew how much this servant was capable of doing. He knew how much this servant was capable of doing, and how much this servant was capable of doing. So he gave this person 5, and this person 2, and this person 1 talent, in accordance with their several abilities. And then thirdly, let's notice the meaning of this. What do you think is the meaning? Well, as I've indicated, the pounds were given to test fidelity and assess ability and fitness for responsibility in the kingdom. The talents represented the master's goods, which he divided among his servants. In the pounds, we see represented what every believer has. There are some things that all of us have. We all have in common. We all have the gospel in common. I don't have more of it than you, and you don't have more of it than I do. We all have the gospel. And the Lord has entrusted that pound, the gospel, to use it, to trade with it, to occupy with it. And if you pass on the gospel to some other person, and he becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus, you've gained a pound, for there's someone else got the gospel too. And if you pass it on to two persons, you've gained 2 pounds. And if you passed it on to 10 persons, you've gained 10 pounds. Let me ask you, how are you passing on the gospel? Are you proclaiming it to other people? I'm not suggesting you come up here and proclaim the gospel unless the Lord has given you the gift of an evangelist. But each one of us can proclaim the gospel to our friends and our neighbors, the people we live with. And we can use that pound, and we can make 2 pounds out of that 1 pound. And maybe 10 pounds out of that 1 pound. How many pounds have you made? You can think of other ways that you can apply this pound. You can think of the Bible. You have as much of the Bible as I have. I don't have any more books in my Bible than you have in yours. I have a few extra notes in this Bible that you don't have in yours, but it's the same Bible. And you all have it. And you have a responsibility to take this Bible and to pass it on to other people. How are you using it? Are you day by day reading your Bible? Not only that you can gain benefit yourself, that's the first important reason, but that you can benefit others and pass on what the Lord tells you from His Word. You have a Bible. Are you passing it on? Are you making 2 pounds or 5 pounds by giving others something of what the Lord has taught you? But also, not only has the Lord given us a pound, but He's given us a talent. We usually think of a talent as a particular ability that God has given us. But we are told in this parable that the talent was given in accordance with the several abilities of those who were the servants. The master recognized the abilities, and in accordance with that ability, He said, I'm going to give you 5 talents, and I'm going to give you 2 talents, and you 1 talent. The Lord knows our abilities. In fact, the Lord has given us different abilities. He's given us different, what we call, talents. Some of us, not me, have a musical talent, and you can sing, or you can play. You've got a talent. The Lord has also given us different gifts. And every one of us has a gift. You young people, you've all got a gift. You older people also have a gift. Every one of us has a gift. Over and over again in the passages relating to gifts in the New Testament, we're clearly taught that these gifts are given to everyone by the Spirit of God, and not one of us has been missed out. I'm going to ask you, do you know what gift God has given to you? Do you know what it is? If you haven't, you have an obligation to find out what that gift is. You have a responsibility to discover that gift. And you have a responsibility to develop that gift. To see that it's developed so that it can be used to its best advantage for God's glory. And you have a responsibility to direct that gift in the sphere where God has placed you for the blessing of others and for the glory of God. Have you discovered your gift? Have you developed your gift? Are you directing your gift into the channel that God has given to you to use it? And you know, in accordance with our ability, whether it's the talent we've got by nature or whether it's the gift we've got by grace, God gives us several talents. Perhaps that's the opportunities that He gives us. You see, there's Billy Graham. What a great preacher Billy Graham is. Some of us maybe would like to be a preacher like Billy Graham. I don't suppose any of us really is a preacher like him. We shouldn't really envy Billy Graham's gift. You see, Billy Graham has much more responsibility than I have, because I don't have Billy Graham's gift. But you see, the opportunities that Billy Graham has are far greater than my opportunities and your opportunities. He has opportunities to reach countless hundreds and thousands of people as he presents the gospel of God's grace. But each one of us, God has given us a talent in accordance with our ability. And we have a responsibility to use these opportunities that he affords us in view of the ability that he has given us for his glory. Are you taking advantage of your opportunities, the talents that God gives you day by day? What a responsibility it is. You'll notice what happened to these talents. The person who had five talents, he got to work, and he made other five. The person who had two talents, he got to work too, and he made other two. But you notice what happened to the one with the one talent. He hid it in the ground. He did that. I wonder why the Lord used the one talent man as his example of the person who hid it in the ground. You know, sometimes it's the person with the five talents and the two talents that hide it in the ground too. Sometimes it's those with great ability and many opportunities who don't use their gift for the Lord and their ability for the Lord. But the Lord chose specially that one with the one talent. I wonder why. Perhaps it was because the person who doesn't think he's got much gift and who doesn't see much opportunity, it's that person who often says, well, there's not much I can do for the Lord, and so I'm not going to do anything. And there are many people that sit in church pews and assembly seats, and they come and they go and they don't do anything because they don't realize that they've got a talent. What are they doing? They're hiding their talent in the ground. They're burying it. I hope you're not like that. I hope you're using your talent. I hope you're using the opportunities that God has given you to serve him with the gift that he has placed at your disposal. And I hope you're using it for his glory. I trust you are. Every one of us, whether you're a five-talent person, or a two-talent person, or a one-talent person. Let's notice the rewards given. The rewards given. In the parable of the pounds, there was specific authority given over 10 cities, over 5 cities. But you'll notice in the parable of the talents, the reward is non-specific. But there's something very important that we learn. Look at verse 21 and compare it with verse 23. I'll read verse 21 and you read verse 23 while I'm reading verse 21. That's probably the best way to do it. I'm going to read verse 21 and you read on verse 23 while I'm doing it. Verse 21 says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Did you see much difference? There was one word of difference. There was a thou that I read that wasn't in your verse. Apart from that, it was exactly the same. In other words, the person who had 5 talents and made 5 talents got exactly the same commendation and reward as the person who had 2 talents and made 2 talents. Isn't that encouraging for us all? You think of the person who can get up on the platform and preach. Oh, you say, I wish I had that talent. I wish I had that opportunity. I wish I had that person's gift. Well, maybe you've got 2 talents. If you use your 2 talents, the Lord is going to give you the same commendation, the same reward, and the same trust as the person with many talents, if you use them with the same faithfulness. You see, the characteristic of the 5-talent and the 2-talent servant was that they got 100% return on what they invested. The one with 5 got 10. The one with two got other 2, 4. They got 100% return on what they invested. 5 made 5 and 2 made 2. And you can put your investment into your service, what the Lord has given you, and use it for his glory. And I'm sure even if you have only one talent and you make one talent, the Lord will give you the same commendation, the same reward, and the same entrustment. But let's notice as we close the one talent servant. What a sad and solemn lesson this is of the wicked servant. He's called that in both parables. You see, in the parable of the talent, he's not only deprived of his talent as the parable of the pound one was, but we are told that he's cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And someone says to me, well, that's a strange thing. How do you understand that? Here is a person who professed to be a servant of the master, who was given a talent, and yet he's cast out into darkness, outer darkness. My friend, the emphasis is on that word, he professed to be a servant.